I'm Kiara.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Carter.
And we just three black folks who love true crime. This is the I Ain't a Killer podcast. What's up, Killer Bees?
Hey, y'all. We back.
We're back.
We know you missed us. We missed you, too.
Absolutely. We had a lot going on.
A lot, yes.
This retrograde, I don't know about y'all,
beat my ass.
This retrograde has been absolutely bad shit for the three of us. To be fair, we missed some episodes before that, so there's no excuse for that. But for the last 2 weeks,
retrograde said, bitch, come outside. I just want to talk. And I fell for that shit.
It got jumped, bitch.
Repeatedly. The fuck?
Repeatedly.
Fallout season, boy. What the fuck? But it's all good. Yes. I'm back here with y'all. Yeah. My family. I'm super happy and I'm ready to get this started.
So this is what we're doing, a current and crime, and then we'll start our rotation back.
We'll get back to it. But we gotta catch y'all up because we've been gone a little minute. There's been a lot going on. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna start with an article from CNN. And the title is Burglars. This is a very difficult word. Is it burglars?
Burglars.
Burglars steal $30 million in cash from an LA money storage facility, one of the city's largest cash heists. I love a heist.
You love a heist.
I really do, because you're really not hurting anybody but the man. And yeah, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So the FBI and LA Police Department are investigating one of the largest cash heists in the city's history after as much as $30 million was stolen from the San Fernando Valley money storage facility. The burglary happened on the night of Easter Sunday. I love a theatrical situation.
You better be dramatic.
Right. At a facility in Sylmar, a suburban neighborhood in the San Fernando Valley, where cash from businesses across the region is handled and stored. The LA Times first reported the incident. The FBI LA office told CNN Thursday they are investigating a large theft in the San Fernando Valley and are working jointly with the LAPD, but would not share any other details, citing an ongoing investigation. Burglars gained access to the building and entered the vault without setting off the alarms, and investigators believe it is a sophisticated group based on their ability to evade detection. AKA, they most likely worked at that building. How else would they be able to get in there? One area of focus for the investigation is whether the group had inside knowledge of the facility, said the source, who added that the heist was discovered on Monday, period. The facility was operated by private security firm Garda World, the source said. CNN has reached out to the company for comment on the incident. According to the LA Times, previously the largest cash heist in the city happened on September 12, 1997, when $18.9 million was stolen from the former site of the Dunbar Armored Inc. facility on Mateo Street.
Wait, $18.9 million, mm-hmm. But like in bills?
Yes, cash.
How do you even carry that much money?
This was the largest cash heist. So they stole $30 million in cash.
Where do you put it?
I just want y'all to understand.
You know how heavy that is?
There is not a bill larger than $100.
Maybe that's because we don't have access to that. Maybe they got like $1,000 bills.
Maybe they do. And that would be some shit they would have.
Yeah. Here's a $1 million bill. So they probably just like took that shit and it fit in their wallet. You know? But we don't know because we ain't never seen that type of money before.
We still working with quarters.
Right.
Okay, so it says that American paper currency comes in 7 denominations, 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, 50, and 100. The U.S. no longer issues bills in larger denominations such as $500, $1,000, $5,000, and $10,000 bills.
They
you imagine a $10,000 fucking bill, bitch?
What the fuck?
That used to exist?
I guess so. But they are still wild. Legal tender and may still be in circulation. Bitch, if anybody out there got a $10,000 bill,
I just want to see it.
I have never heard of that in my life. I've heard of $2 bills.
Yeah.
I used to collect $2 bills. That's wild.
Wow. So my theory is that they work for the security company.
Okay. Mm, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I hope they never get caught.
30 mil in cash. Oh my God, how many cars did they pull up with?
They set it the fuck off.
I need for more information.
I just want to see what $30 million in cash looks like.
Yes, literally. I just want to look at
it. Literally. I mean, the only, like, reference I have is Money Heist, to the show.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fucking money.
And that was like, what, in, I don't know, whatever the name of the currency is in Spain, right?
Right. So,
like,
yeah.
Maybe they had it. I don't know. That's a lot of fucking money. I don't care what currency it is. Gold, bitch. $30 million worth of gold?
Gold bars.
How the fuck did y'all get
There's
that
no
shit?
Way to carry that.
No, absolutely not. Y'all had to roll out of there with a food cart. Oh, we're just catering. Like, let's just take this to the car, this big ass cake that nobody ordered.
Wind blows, and there's like, did bills flying.
Don't worry about it. Those are just napkins.
All right, so am I doing the next one with the St. Louis police officer?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I pulled this one up from The Independent because there's a paywall on the New York Times one.
Okay.
So this one is from The Independent. Black undercover police officer beaten up by his own colleagues awarded 20.
It's not funny. I'm so sorry.
It's not funny,
it's
but.
The irony is like.
The irony is peak irony because you work for the state. It's your job to beat people's ass. Here's and you thing. Got your ass beat.
When's the last time y'all saw an Onion article, like, titled? You know,
yeah, because absolutely.
Life has become so fucking ridiculous.
You can't tell
that no like these are Onion. This is what have been on the Onion in 2002. Yep. Like, are you kidding me?
And it's like, this is the shit that y'all used to pull when you was in uniform.
This supposed to be satire. This is not supposed to be real life.
Listen, get him. Oh my god. Okay. Fellow, let's see, Luther Hall, a St. Louis police officer, was present at a street protest in 2017 where he was working undercover. His disguise was apparently so good that his fellow officers failed to recognize him when they mercilessly beat him on the street.
His disguise was being a nigga, y'all.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. He's a nigga. Like, don't they be having like the little, like, don't they be having like little signs and stuff?
They're supposed to. Yes. Yeah, like an indicator of some sort.
Right.
But even still, like,
it's ridiculous.
Mercilessly beat him on the street.
Oh my God.
First of all, why are y'all beating protesters on the street?
At all.
Mercilessly?
But for him to be an undercover cop, I'm sorry, it is funny.
It's fucking hilarious is what it is. On Monday, Mr. Hall was awarded $23.5 million for the attack, according to the St. Louis American. The incident occurred 2 days after Jason Stockley, a former St. Louis police officer, was acquitted of the fatal shooting of Anthony Lamar Smith. Police expected that there could be protests following the acquittal and dispatched 200 officers from a civil disobedience team, quote, that weekend in 2017. More than 120 people were arrested, including Hall and his colleague Louis Nays, a white officer also embedded undercover within the marchers. Mr. Nays told officers, well, he told investigators that his arrest was, quote, routine, but said police clad in riot gear beat the fuck out of Mr. Hall like Rodney King.
Okay. Wow. Wait. This is a white man.
That is a white man that said
like
that.
Rodney King.
Like Rodney King.
Like, get the fuck.
Do you know how bad you gotta get beat for a police officer to say that you got beat?
To say you got beat the fuck out of?
No, dude, like,
I'm sorry, I wanna go back and talk and be the room you give this statement. Like,
no, for real. Because
but
you
if
have
like
to
he was Key King, like, no, they beat the fuck out of
him. Yeah, they beat the fuck out of him. Like,
they beat his motherfucking ass. Right. That shit was crazy.
And they quoted you saying that. Which means that means he's got his ass fucking beat.
Because you said that shit on the record.
Yeah.
What?
He said he got beat like Rodney.
He snitched on his colleagues and said that. So it had to be bad. In 2018, four St. Louis police officers were indicted on federal charges.
Which is wild because we're talking about a protest that they're at because someone literally got shot by the police and wasn't indicted.
Mm-hmm.
These niggas got indicted for beating up
a nigga. And only because he was a police officer did anything happen. Yeah. Because
I'm sure that he wasn't the only one who got his ass beat that day.
Right.
Definitely not.
Prosecutors argued that officers Dustin Boone, Randy Hayes, and Christopher Myers slammed Mr. Hall to the ground, kicked him, and beat him with metal batons.
Ooh.
Metal batons, what the fuck?
Why do those even exist?
Yeah.
So they can beat on niggas. And that's what they did. Despite him being compliant and not posing a physical threat to anyone, quote, the indictment also revealed messages sent between the officers in which they expressed their disdain for the protesters and their excitement for the chance to beat them.
Oh, well, we knew that.
In an exchange on September 15, 2017, 2 days before the incident, Myers wrote, "Let's kick some ass." To which Boone replied, shit. "It's going to be a lot of fun beating the hell out of these shitheads once the sun goes down and nobody can tell us apart."
Whoa. That's
horrifying.
Right. I would be terrified. I mean,
it's one thing to know that that's their mindset, but then to, like, literally hear a quote of them saying it, that's scary.
And then, like, y'all didn't delete these text messages? What the fuck? So they Super Bowl with this shit. Mr. White said that Hayes' messages and actions indicated complete indifference, quote, and an individual he believed to be an unarmed African-American doing nothing wrong, quote, according to the New York Times. Boone, Hayes, and Myers were charged with depriving Mr. Hall of constitutional rights and for conspiring to obstruct justice. And then it goes on to just like quote him a little bit about what was happening to him. He said, feet, fists, sticks, people punching me. I was being held down. It felt like it went on forever, just laying there.
That's horrible.
And I was in a lot of pain. He also testified that his tailbone was injured in the attack and that he needed surgery to repair two herniated discs in his neck and his back.
Whoa. He could have been paralyzed.
He definitely could have been paralyzed. And I wonder if that's the type of shit he was doing when he was an officer. Because that gives, like, these are the people you used to work with and these are your colleagues. So you knew they was acting like this.
Right. And I have to remind myself, all cops are bad. Like, while I, you know, I'm a human being and it's awful to hear about these kinds of injuries, it's like, that you're a part of this fucking force. Yeah. Like,
right, exactly.
You were there to do that. Like, you were an undercover cop to fuck up the lives of protesters who were there to practice their right to civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so, in addition to the prosecution, Mr. Hall also sued Boone, Hayes, and Myers for the attack. He was awarded $5 million from the city. And on Monday, he was awarded $10 million in punitive damages, $11 million for past and future physical and emotional pain, and $2 million for lost wages.
Wow.
In addition to this, he was awarded more than $213,000 for lost, delayed retirement and insurance benefits, as well as $366,000 for past and future medical experiences. I mean, expenses. And then it goes on to quote, like, a reverend who also had something to say about the situation. The city also agreed to pay out $5 million to nearly 7 dozen people who accused the police of violating their rights during the 2017 protests.
Okay,
I hope they actually get to collect their coin.
Yeah, absolutely. They need more than that, too.
The police have the best benefits in all that shit that I've ever heard. I mean, I feel like he deserves all that money, but so does everyone else. And the only reason why he's getting that is because he's a cop.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Future emotional damage? I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Right.
For, like, I guess, like, PTSD, maybe?
Right.
I don't know.
When do
but
they,
like,
ever
damn.
Award money for that?
They should give that to the families of all these people who they be shooting in the streets.
Wow.
12-year-old and 16-year-old kids dying, fucking Breonna Taylor's family. Like, all this, like, it's too many people to fucking name.
I mean, if we've been honest, we all deserve that money, not even for reparations, because the conversation has moved past that at this point. I mean, I still want my reparations.
No,
but
same.
Also, we live in a state that has us constantly under fear, which causes psychological damage on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we have to see one of those videos, every time we have to leave our homes and are scared threat of being, you know, shot or beat up or whatever the fuck, like, we all need some future emotional damage money, and right now emotional damage money, and yesterday emotional damage money. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm emotionally damaged.
I'm emotionally damaged for my future self. So yeah, go ahead and pay up.
Yeah.
Ooh, child. Well, I'm glad he got that payout. Hate that he got it because he's a cop, and hate that he probably let some shit like that slide when he was working with him. But fuck it. I'm like,
They got the right one that day. Can you imagine finding out? I know they blood ran cold when they realized he was an officer for real. Because I'm sure he probably said it in the midst of that asshole when they were like,
I'm a cop. Yeah,
right,
sure.
Right. Y'all done fucked up. All right. So our next one is sadly a tale as old as time. The title of this article is Texas Mom Left Young Kids 6 and 8 Home Alone for Nearly a Week While She Vacationed on a Cruise. This article is from April 14th, and it is on the New York Post. A Texas mother was arrested after she allegedly abandoned her two young kids to go on a cruise, leaving the children home alone for nearly a week. Lakeisha Woods Williams, 29, girl, you know better.
Right.
I thought she was going to be like 18 or something.
Right.
Was hit with two charges of child endangerment last Thursday after officers found her 8-year-old and 6-year-old alone in their high-rise apartment complex in Houston with no supervision. Williams left her kids to take her solo vacation on April 4th and returned the night of April 10th. She was arrested the following day. Concerned neighbors called emergency responders after worrying about the siblings' welfare. The neighbors saw Williams leaving the building with luggage on April 4th and noticed she failed to come home after several days, according to the court records. I know people be scared of, like, getting in other people's business, but if I know some kids are in an apartment alone, I'm going in there.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to get them.
Like, I'll call the police and tell them that the kids are at my house.
Yeah, exactly.
After 12 hours a full day? Mm-hmm. No, they come into mind. Deputies visited the apartment on April 9th and found the two kids alone in the apartment, trashed with garbage and food all around the floor and a potent smell of urine. Mm. The place was in complete disarray, deputies said. The children said their mother had left to go on a cruise and was communicating with them through a camera in the apartment and via text messages to the 8-year-old.
Whoa.
The kids were checked by paramedics as well as CPS. They were removed from the apartment and now in the care of their aunt. Neighbors told deputies it was not the first time they had been left at home with no adults. We're still putting together the facts and circumstances of how these children were left alone for several days. But the important thing is they are safe now, and those responsible should be held accountable for leaving these kids in an unsafe situation.
Absolutely.
Williams was booked in the Harris County Jail on a $40,000 bond, and she is set to be in court on Monday. So that Monday has passed. What? It was this? No, it's next Monday.
It's coming. Yeah. Okay.
So when y'all hear this, she'll be going to court.
The camera thing really freaks me out because I feel like it's one thing to have like an emotional break or like something to where you really are out of your mind mm-hmm. and you do something like that. But she was with it enough to have a camera so that she could communicate with them. Mm-hmm. And that, so like, it was a very deliberate, conscious mm-hmm. decision to leave those kids. And that's so fucked up.
Right. To go vacation. And then also you have a relative who I guess apparently has the capacity to take care of them.
Right.
Not speaking on what that relationship was before she tried to go on vacation, but it's like, had you reached out to anybody or like let them know how dire the situation was? Could she have like had somebody who could have mm-hmm. babysat for her? I wonder. And that's so sad. And I don't know. It's funny because it's like, that's such a crucial age to be left at home alone.
Yes. Oh, that's going to traumatize them for a long
time. For a very long time. If they were 14 and 15, like if that was me and my brother, we would have been living it kicking the fuck up.
I mean, it would still not be cool, but at least we would know how to handle ourselves.
Right. Absolutely. But like 6 and 8, y'all are like, the single digits is not a time for you to be at home by yourself for seven days without your parent, like, or without somebody checking in on y'all or something.
That's awful. Yeah. And then you're relying on a video camera. If this was your grand plan and that makes sense to you, on a cruise ship, the internet is so unpredictable and unreliable. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the plan if you couldn't get in contact with them?
Right. Or if something happened.
Anyone. Mm-hmm. You're on a fucking boat. What was the plan?
I know somebody who's who does, like, they're a musician on like cruise ships or whatever, mm-hmm. and there are times when we don't talk for months because the signal on the ship is so shitty. So mm-hmm. they have to dock and then they have to get Wi-Fi where they are, and mm-hmm. they'll be like, oh hey, this is where I'm at, and stuff like that. Or they'll post a little bit on Instagram.
Yeah.
But like, you're not talking to somebody daily, like checking in with them multiple times a day on a cruise ship. Absolutely not. So like, what the fuck?
That's horrible.
But also, I don't have kids and I will never suffer that mental break that comes with having to deal with another human being in my presence. Like,
I don't know. I just feel like this doesn't give mental break. Like Aaron said, it feels just so strategic. Like you picked out a cruise.
Yep.
You bought the cruise tickets.
Yep.
You
packed your outfits.
You packed your clothes. You set up the webcam. You left the phone. Mm-hmm. Like,
you got
in the cab and went to the airport to fly to the port. Like,
that's the scary thing about kids. Anyone can have them. And I'm I don't know how to regulate it, but we've got to do better.
I feel like, and I've thought about this because, like, you know, it's complicated to say not everybody deserves kids. I mean, when it comes to people who, like, murder and abuse their kids, for sure.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, like, who has access to giving birth, especially because, you know, we're in our day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We don't want to tread into eugenics. But what I do think needs to happen is a lot more investment in teaching people how to be parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Giving people the resources to parent. Mm-hmm. And giving people the resources to take breaks.
Like, yes, absolutely.
That's something that's completely missing from our society. Mm-hmm. And we used to live communally, like, where, you know, it was nothing to drop your kids off at, mm-hmm. you know, your sister's house, your granny's house, your mama's house.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're also, like, it's supposed to be you rely on your nuclear family, and if you can't do it on your own, then you're a failure.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fucking pressure.
Yeah. And also, like, not being able, like, having people say, oh, a cruise isn't as important as, you know, watching your kid. Like, why would you go on a cruise if you can't take care of your kids? Like, there's got to be support, and not just, I'm having my kids watch because I'm going to work,
mm-hmm.
or I'm having my kids watch because I need to go do errands. Like, I'm having my kids watch
because I need to rest.
And go on vacation. And like, recoup my energy.
Yeah. That also brings up the conversation of fathers. Where the fuck is, you know? Yeah, or the dad's family. One person
was mentioned in that article.
You know? So, and, you know, if it was y'all, I would be like, yeah, drop him at my house, go on a cruise. I don't care. You don't, it's not because of the needs, it's because of something that you want. And like I said, you need rest. And bitches want to have fucking fun. What do you mean? Like, just because you somebody mama don't mean you don't want to be outside sometimes. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's really not an excuse for this behavior, but I wish the world looked differently for mothers, parents of all genders.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
All right, so the next article is from CBS News. It was published on April 17th, a couple days ago. Uber driver shot and killed by 81-year-old Ohio man after both received scam calls. An 81-year-old Ohio man has been charged with murder after allegedly shooting an Uber driver who thought she was picking up a package from a man's house. Both appear to have been victims of scam calls, the Clark County Sheriff's Office said in a news release. The Uber driver, Lolita Hall, was found shot multiple times near 81-year-old William Brock's South Charleston home on March 25th. Brock, who had called 911, had an injury to his head and ear and was bleeding when police arrived. Hall, a black woman, was taken to a hospital in Dayton where she died of her injuries. Investigators discovered that Brock had earlier received a scam call about an incarcerated relative, which had involved threats and demands for money. An unknown man told Brock over the phone he needed to pay $12,000 to get his nephew out of jail. Brock told police the caller threatened to kill him and his nephew if he didn't pay the ransom. The same caller or an accomplice later hired Hall using the Uber app to pick up a package from Brock's residence, according to investigators. Hall was not aware that Brock had been threatened, the sheriff's office said. Miss Hall suffered from medical conditions and unarmed, made no threats or assaults towards Mr. Brock and made no demands other than to ask about the package she was sent to retrieve, the sheriff's office said. Brock allegedly held Hall at gunpoint and demanded to know the identities of the people who had called him. He also took Hall's phone and refused to allow her to leave, adding that Brock did not try to call the police at this point. When Hall tried to get back into her vehicle, Brock allegedly shot her, and there was a, quote, subsequent scuffle at the door of Ms. Hall's vehicle. Brock then allegedly shot her two more times before calling 911. Brock is charged with murder, which carries a penalty of 15 years to life in prison. Police are considering other charges. Brock pleaded not guilty, and bail was set at $200,000. Officials are still searching for the scam callers. The Clark County Sheriff's Office would like to take the opportunity to remind residents, especially our older citizens, that no law enforcement agency or court will make contact with anyone in the manner of this case to solicit cash for bail, the office said, urging residents to use extreme caution when being contacted unexpectedly by subjects claiming to be relatives incarcerated in a correctional facility. Uber on Wednesday said it was in touch with law enforcement and committed to supporting the investigation. Wow.
This is a lot more complex than
way more complex.
Yeah, I actually feel for both of them.
Whoa,
it's complicated. Older people are often the victims of these scam calls. If you listen to Scam Goddess, then you've heard some of those horror stories, and I could understand why somebody pulls out a gun when they've gotten a call that somebody's about to pull up and kill them, mm-hmm. and they don't have this money. Mm-hmm. And then somebody pulls up, and you're like, "So you must be the person,
exactly?"
Like that's a scary coming
for.
Situation.
She's coming for a package, so he's saying she's coming for the money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's I didn't so even know you could hire somebody through Uber to go get a package for you.
They have like package delivery or something, so like, you could put something in the car and then send it off to somebody, or vice versa.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah.
Which is dangerous. They need a little bit more regulation around that.
Absolutely,
it could be anything.
And you can send it to anyone.
Yeah.
Especially if it's from someone's house, through Uber, there should be some sort of confirmation from that person, like someone is coming to pick up a package from your house, officially from this app.
Yeah.
And if y'all both don't have that confirmation, it's not a safe situation. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, of course, retrospect. But wow.
Yeah, that's really sad.
The way that I've seen this story be portrayed on Twitter is always like, okay, this white man killed this black woman because he received a scam call. And I'm like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Right. And they don't never really elaborate. And so yeah, it is way more complex. But damn.
And he's 81.
Yeah. And these scammers really target old people. Mm-hmm. Like, every time I go to either of my grandma's houses, I sit down with them and explain, like, don't give anyone your money over the phone. Like, really? Because they don't know.
Yeah, technology is not like something. There's like this huge gap in like how they view technology, because this is the generation that did like the home shopping network, mm-hmm. and you know, they did like actual food stamps, like mm-hmm. stuff like that. So with things being like that for them, it's like, oh, okay, that's normal. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's like, I can tell my phone to send you money without even touching my phone.
Right.
So like, they're not in on that.
Right.
And they don't understand like that gap. When somebody's calling you and asking you for your information, that's obviously a scam because of look how far we've come in technology.
Like, and we even like, at least for me, even if I feel skeptical, I'm going to call the company. So like, if I've been this old man, I'm like, okay, let me call the jail.
Right. Yeah.
Like, let me figure this out. Yeah. Or is my nephew even in jail right now?
Like, the other thing is folks under like 45 don't even answer phone numbers they don't mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, exactly.
True. Right. There's a whole setting on your phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, spam likely. I'm not answering that.
Yeah. 614, I don't know nobody in fucking Cleveland. Like, you know? Like, that ain't got shit to do with me. But well, another thing I was going to say is, too, it's also a culture thing, too, because I feel like if you have people who are locked up, you know the jails don't give a fuck about inmates. Yeah. Nobody's going to call you and tell you that someone you love is locked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if something is wrong with them, you have to, like, really show your ass to get them to take action on that.
Right.
And so that's a whole other thing is too, it's just like that. I feel like a scam like that would work lesser, like with black and brown folks, because it's just like, we know y'all don't give a fuck about us. Like, why are you calling me with this shit? Like,
This is very nuanced and sad. And not to say that racial bias didn't come into play, because I don't know if it was a white woman that came to pick up the package, maybe he wouldn't have responded with such violence. But absolutely. I don't know.
And someone lost their life behind it.
Yep.
And then there are at least one, maybe two, maybe a ring of people out there that are like preying on elderly folks and cause these two people, one to lose their life and one maybe going to be in prison for the rest of his life.
He's
81. What the fuck?
After the stress of this situation, I'm surprised he's still alive. I'm not even trying to be funny. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you 81, you got this threatening ass, scary ass call. You shot somebody and now you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
That's so sad.
That's very sad. Well, for both parties.
Maybe we'll have some updates on that, because they still haven't found the scammers. So we'll keep it on our list.
So this next one is a little heavy. So just a little bit of a content warning. As y'all have heard about for a few days by now, when you're hearing this, a man died outside of the courthouse where Trump was facing trial. I think jury selection was taking place. I'm not sure if the trial actually started, but I think jury selection was taking place. So this article is from NBC New York. A man who set himself on fire outside the courtroom where former President Donald Trump is facing charges in a hush money case has died. And this happened earlier today. The person identified as Maxwell Azzarello set himself on fire after walking into Collect Pond Park around 1:30 p.m. on Friday in designated protest area across the street from the courthouse in Lower Manhattan, where Trump's trial is taking place, according to the NYPD chief. He started shuffling around his clothes and opened a backpack and taking out pamphlets and throwing them around the small park. Azzarello then took out a canister, poured liquid accelerant on himself, and lit himself on fire. Police believe that the accelerant was some sort of alcohol-based substance used for cleaning. He was able to take a few steps while on fire and walked into a police barrier, then fell down. The video appeared to show the moments after the self-immolation as Azzarello laid on the ground burning, at times seemingly seizing. There was an already heavy NYPD police presence outside of the building due to the high profile nature of the trial, and officers rushed to get what appeared to be a fire extinguisher to douse the flames, while others tried to use the jackets to cover the fire. Their first attempt to put out the blaze was unsuccessful, and the video appeared to show the man trying to sit up as onlookers shrieked in shock. The fire was ultimately put out minutes later after police and FDNY brought a larger, I'm sorry, FDNY, I was like trying to figure out what that stood for, Fire Department of New York City, brought a larger extinguisher, leaving the smoky scene outside of the court with the group of reporters and horrified witnesses looking on. The man was taken by EMS to the burn unit at New York Presbyterian, where he was later pronounced dead by hospital staff. Six other first responders and bomb squad showed up as well. And then they talk a little bit about Trump's trial. I don't even fuck about that white man who set himself on fire. So just a little bit about him. He was 37 years old. He was from Augustine, Florida. Mm-hmm. He came to New York City earlier in the week. NYPD chief of detectives told in a press conference. And while it wasn't clear why he arrived in the city, it was apparent that he had been there as recently as April 13th. His family was unaware that he was in New York, and it's believed that he walked over from Leonard Street, which I'm not from New York, so I guess if you're from New York, you know where all this stuff is, adjacent to the park, and then set himself on fire immediately after. So it's pretty much known that like this is the reason why he came to New York, or this is like the reason why he came to the park. Mm-hmm. And there's more information about him and like his beliefs as far as like his manifesto that was recently published. This last part says, the vast conspiracy theory he described online involved the American government, a university, political figures, and major financial players. His actions did not appear to be clear, direct response to the trial, but rather that they were done at that particular place in order to draw attention to the conspiracies that he was talking about. And I'm saying conspiracy in quotes because a lot of the stuff that I ended up reading later in his manifesto, or just like what the stuff that he was talking about, was just about having a corrupt government and the people needing to govern themselves. Mm-hmm. They said that it did not appear that Azzarello had any criminal history in New York. I don't know why that would even be considered. Police records show that he was arrested on 4 misdemeanor charges, including criminal mischief, property damage, and disturbing the peace in Florida in August 2023. And that's all they know about him. So yeah, that's the end of the article. And I want to stress that I say conspiracy in quotes because if somebody is talking about this government being fucking corrupt, bitch, that's not a conspiracy.
That's facts.
Even fucking Republicans are saying that themselves. So that's across the aisle. Everybody thinks the government is corrupt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think this shit is so fucking sad. And people being pushed to this point, especially white men being pushed to this point, setting themselves on fire, should definitely wake some people the fuck up.
Yeah.
And let them know that this, what's coming next, is like really fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. So to him and to Aaron Bushnell and their families, I just feel so much sympathy for them. This is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. It is. And because it just happened, it's like there's nothing really to talk about, like, except for the fact that it happened.
Yeah.
As they were reporting, there was a woman, I forget what her name is, she's a reporter. They basically are just like praising the way that she reported on it because it's like a masterclass in live reporting.
Mm-hmm.
She was standing outside of the building to report on Trump's trial, and she was like already kind of like scoping out the scene, and then she was like, okay, so there's an active shooter. That's the first thing that she said. And then she was like, oh shit, wait, like, no, like, she didn't negate that it was an active shooter. She just jumped straight into saying, like, mm-hmm. okay, there's a man, he's setting himself on fire. I see an arm flailing. I see fire. I see people running towards the scene. Like, she mm-hmm. was, you know, she jumped into that mode. And I guess Republicans on Twitter or whatever are saying, like, she's calling him an active shooter, like, on purpose to try and, like, misconstrue what the situation is, or, like, no. just kind of twist what the situation is.
Mm.
And so they were going in on her, and other people were like, no, she's reporting live. This happened while she was standing
right.
out there.
Right.
Like,
right.
of course she's going to get it wrong. And, like, of course if something violent is going down, immediately you're going to think, like, going to, you know, mm-hmm. drill mode or whatever.
Right.
So, I don't know. Even in that moment where this man is, like, being fucking set on fire, people are really trying to make it about themselves and what they think. It's like, they're so fucking ignorant. But I definitely think this is a story we can have updates on as his manifesto spreads, because it just popped out on Twitter like last night. So maybe as that gains more popularity, we'll have some updates or some insight into who he is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about that another time.
I was trying to find it, but there was a post, a really good post that I read, a comment on something that happened, on an article about Erin Bushnell, where someone was talking about, you know, lighting yourself on fire is the ultimate protest, and like how we shouldn't conflate like mental health issues are always like have that as our default explanation for how someone could have the capacity to do something like that. It was really beautiful, beautifully written. If I find it, I'll send it to you, Erin, so you can add it to the post or the episode, because it just articulated it so well, and I don't want to fuck it up, but I think it should be shared.
Yeah, I definitely want to read that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so our next article. Now, why did you do this? The page, like,
I'm like me when that fucking video started playing.
The ad popped up and like the whole thing went away.
I was like, I thought this was supposed to be an article.
Since my MacBook gonna act like this. Told y'all it's gonna act like this. All right, so the title of the article is Maxwell Anderson Charged with Killing Dismembering 19-Year-Old Milwaukee Woman Shade Carlina Robinson. This is published April 12th of this year from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. One week after his arrest, Maxwell S. Anderson has been charged with killing and dismembering 19-year-old Shade Carlina Robinson. The charges confirm what may have many had grown to suspect in the last week and a half, that human remains discovered in a Kudahy Park April 2nd belonged to Robinson, who was reported missing that same day. The case received extensive publicity as additional human remains were found in Milwaukee in the days since. Anderson and Robinson met on April 1st to go on a first date with each other. The two ate dinner and went to a bar before going to Anderson's home on Milwaukee's south side. Using surveillance footage, witness statements, and phone tracking records, the complaint pieces together the movement of Anderson, Robinson, and her phone and car for about a 16-hour period, beginning with their meeting over dinner. Anderson was charged Friday with the first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, and arson. In a court appearance Friday morning, his bail was set at $5 million. At a joint press conference Friday morning with the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office and the Milwaukee Police Department, officials said a search for remains continues and an investigation into a motive remain active. They declined comment on evidence found or taken from Anderson's home during a search, although the complaint said blood was found in bedding in Anderson's home and on walls leading to a basement. Milwaukee County Sheriff, and I feel like it's worth saying, obviously, this man is a white man and Shade is black. Milwaukee County Sheriff Danita Ball said, at this point, there's no evidence there are other victims. At Friday's court hearing, AD attorney Ian Van Curzon said much of Robinson's remains have yet to be located, and Anderson appeared to go to tremendous lengths to cover up her death. He called the allegations abhorrent. It is the highest level of violence imaginable, he said. After the hearing, Robinson's mother, Sheena Scarborough, reacted angrily, calling Anderson a sick son of a bitch and openly wished he would suffer, which I feel her on that. She said, who the fuck would do something like this to my beautiful baby? She asked his family gathered closely around her. She hurt nobody. She harmed nobody. Robinson, who graduated from high school a semester early and was working at a pizza shuttle in Milwaukee, was a month away from earning an associate's degree in criminal justice at Milwaukee Area Tech College. Scarborough said Robinson considered pursuing a career in the Air Force and has multiple family members with military service. Her whole life was ahead of her, she said. She was so, so amazing, so beautiful, such a beautiful angel. Everywhere she went, people just admired my baby. The family does have a GoFundMe available for funeral services. According to the criminal complaint, a friend reported Robinson missing at 9 p.m. on April 2nd when she didn't show up for work. Police went to Robinson's apartment building where building secretary said Robinson told her April 1st that she was excited for a date that night. I'm glad she told people. Yeah. Robinson's cell phone records show she arranged to meet someone at 5 p.m. at the Twisted Fisherman, which is a restaurant. Management and workers at the restaurant told investigators that Robinson was there with Anderson, a former employee. The two left the restaurant shortly after 6:30 and went to Duke's, the bar. And after 9, they went to Anderson's home. Around 12:45 a.m., Robinson's phone left the area and went to Milwaukee's downtown, eventually reaching the River West neighborhood. From there, it went to Warnemont Park area in Kudahy, where it stayed until the phone's battery died shortly after 4:30 a.m. The park is where a severed human leg was found around 5:29 p.m. on April 2nd.
Oh, my God.
Video at the park showed a Honda Civic at the park until about 4:30 a.m. A human figure was seen walking down a bluff several times and back to the area of the car. At 7:32 a.m. April 2nd, her car was found burned near West Lisbon Avenue, and with that, officials later determined to be Robinson's clothes and other belongings inside. On April 6th, police found a foot in the area of the burned car, and using video and witness statements, police identified Anderson as the suspect who burned the vehicle. He boarded a bus that took him near his home and arrived there on foot at about 8:35 a.m. Early in the morning on the 4th, sheriff's deputies stopped Anderson's vehicle and arrested him. Preliminary results of the blood testing on the severed leg determined it belonged to Anderson. To Robinson. Goes on to say that Anderson had a history of domestic violence. He's 33 years old. Like I said, she's 19. He's destroyed property of relatives. He was accused of beating a man on Milwaukee Street. Seems like he was a really violent guy. And the investigation is ongoing.
Damn. It's really sad.
It is really sad. It reminds me of the story of those LA models that were going missing, the black girls that were like young. I don't even know if they found the suspect for that, but it was like two or three young black models who.
It's like influencers or something, and they were like dying in LA, like week after each other.
Yeah, it reminds me of that.
I think I remember that.
Different circumstances, obviously, but.
Yeah. It just sucks that like surveillance doesn't apply to people like that. You know, like you fucking steal some candy from the store and they own you. They recognize your pattern and you have a profile. But this person beat a man in the street, had DV issues, and was not, I don't know. There wasn't any help like extended to him, obviously, because we talk about this all the time with like no rehabilitation being offered to people who act like that. I just hate that it always falls back on black people.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's at the end of the day, when like people finally do their big act or, you know, whatever, it's always a black person or a woman.
Yeah.
It's or like, both. Okay, now everybody knows who he is, but this girl is dead. You know? And that sucks so bad. And when she said, who would do this to my beautiful baby? That broke my heart.
Me too.
Yeah.
Damn. Really, really sad.
She was so fucking young. Damn.
She was. She really was. And sounds like, you know, really trying to do some things for herself.
Yeah.
Right. And
I mean, it just started life. A baby. 19.
And yeah. I'm like, did he target her because she was a young black woman or just because she was young and available? Like, what? It's, I don't know. It's
just, I'm sure more details will come out.
Yeah. Okay, so this is an article from the New York Post, and it's actually an update on an article we did for A Current in Crime a little while ago. If y'all remember, what was the woman's name? Lindsay Clancy.
Yeah.
She struggled with postpartum depression after having her three children and was heavily medicated by her doctors and therapists.
Mm-hmm.
And with a mixture of all the things happening, it led to her killing her three children. So she is currently in jail, and this is a story about the father. So this was published on April 16th. The title says, Grieving Dad Finishes Boston Marathon in Honor of Three Children Strangled by Mom. A Massachusetts father of three, whose wife allegedly strangled their children in a fit of postpartum depression. I wish they would give a little more context to that, but we just did, and we talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
So the father finished the Boston Marathon with tears in his eyes as he wore his daughter's bow and bracelets for his sons. Patrick Clancy, age 33, completed the marathon in just under 4 hours on Monday and raised more than $75,000 for Boston's Children's Hospital in honor of his three late children. Cora, age 5, Dawson, age 3, and Kaylin, age 7 months, who were killed just over a year ago. Quote, I love my kids. They're wonderful people, Clancy told WCVB after he crossed the finish line. Everybody loved them. They had short lives, but they had good lives. Jesus, I'm going to cry. The dad wore a bright blue and orange checkered Miles for Miracles jersey. On the back, it read in handwritten letters, "In memory of Cora, Dawson, and Caitlin, every mile, every day." Mm. His wife, Lindsay Clancy, allegedly strangled their three children in January 2023 before attempting suicide by jumping out of a second-story window after suffering from postpartum depression or psychosis. Monday was the Duxbury native's first marathon, and he explained that training for the big event became therapy for him after the tragedy. "They were my motivation. It was therapeutic. It was purpose. I knew we could make a big difference, and we did, so it was good." While running the course, the crowd cheered his name despite it not being on his shirt and encouraged him to keep going. But the cheers weren't the only thing keeping Clancy going through the 26.2-mile course. So were the mementos of his children, which he carried with him each step. He wore a tiny blue bow pinned to his left shoulder that belonged to his daughter, Cora. He also wore a, quote, "Happy Caitlin" bracelet and a different one to represent Dawson. The father of three also carried a resin with his children's handprints on it that Boston Children's Hospital, where Caitlin died days after the attack, had given him last year. Clancy raised $77,062. That doesn't sound right. Am I struggling?
That's okay.
Okay. For the hospital as part of its Miles for Miracle team, exceeding his goal of $65,000. Clancy also reiterated that he has forgiven his wife, Lindsay Clancy, who was allegedly suffering from psychological problems at the time.
And that's a tough thing.
Yeah.
That's a very tough thing.
While I might be able to logically understand, I don't know that I would ever forgive anybody that harmed my children.
Right.
They go on to say that the Duxbury resident had previously flagged concerns for his wife's mental health to friends before the tragedy, saying he thought she was being prescribed too many medications. Lindsay has pleaded not guilty to three counts of first-degree murder and is undergoing mental health treatment at Tewksbury State Hospital.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
That story was hard. The first time we did it, and the story was still hard.
He has such a big heart to be able to forgive her for that. And I know that, like, she didn't necessarily do it on purpose, and she was quite literally out of her mind when she was being fucking... What? It was something wild. It was, like, almost 20 medications or something like that. It was something weird.
Mm-hmm.
And the reactions between those two, I mean, who knows how that, like, affected her. But, yeah, like you said, I don't know if I would be able to, like, actually have a relationship with this person.
I would also have to have a relationship.
Yeah.
I think it's very different to forgive somebody and have a relationship with them. Like,
yeah,
you can forgive someone and still not want them in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Even for him to still even be calling her his wife, like, did they get a divorce or something? Like, I don't know.
I don't know, because, you know, she was immediately arrested, and then she was hospitalized for mental health issues and her injuries from her attempt.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe we could find some more information about that for our next Burning Crime episode.
Yeah.
That is sad as
fuck.
The fact that he's even still standing is wild to me.
That would have been about it.
I would have been gone. Nope. I would have been
overnight. My heart breaks every time.
That is such a sad. Yeah, that's
I wonder what's next for him. Like, is he gonna, like, help others and advocate for?
It seems like that's what he wants to do. Even like doing the run.
Which speaks to how big his heart is.
Wishing him the best.
Absolutely.
Me too. And healing and peace. However much peace you can get after something
community,
like that.
Right. Yeah. Definitely people to talk to.
For sure.
So I think this next one kind of like kicks off the pop culture segment of this. Tesla is recalling all 3,878 Cybertrucks over a faulty accelerator pedal. LOL. Not at the people who have dealt with this issue. I don't know if it's led to any deaths. We can get into it real quick with this article, but still, fuck Elon Musk.
Yeah, fuck Elon.
All and the fuck way. Them ugly ass Cybertrucks. Them shit's ugly.
They real ugly.
Like, you tried to make Iron Man into a car and then took out all the color and all
it's
the
giving
design.
Transformer, but not cool enough.
So Tesla has issued a recall for effectively every Cybertruck it's delivered to customers due to a fault that's causing the vehicle's accelerator pedal to get stuck. According to the National Highways Traffic Safety Administration, on Wednesday, the defect can result in the pedal pad dislodging and becoming trapped in the vehicle's interior trim when, quote, high force is applied.
I'm sorry.
No.
Don't you have to go through tests?
Yeah.
How is that a thing?
Man, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just talking hella shit because anything I pull out my ass probably does apply to Elon Musk. So I don't think that they're regulating like safety. Yeah, they're kind of like on some Boeing shit.
Didn't like Tesla when it first, like the actual cars first came out, there were so many issues.
Yeah.
Didn't someone die? Because
the auto control and shit. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Be crashing and shit like that. And like, oh, the engine caught on fire and stuff like that. So the same shit he doing with Twitter, firing everybody because, you know, he want to work for a billionaire who wants to be relatable to the average man. It's like, we don't need no safety. We don't need no people standing over our shoulders telling us what to do. Fire them. And then those are the people who make sure shit like this doesn't fucking happen. Like, firing the safety team, I'm not saying he fired the safety team, but I'm like, just like foregoing safety in a fucking car.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, a big ass fucking car at that. The fault was caused by a quote, unapproved change that introduced lubricant soap.
Excuse me?
What? During the assembly of the accelerator pedals, which reduced the retention of the pad, the recall notice states. The truck's brakes will still function if the accelerator pedal becomes trapped, though this obviously isn't an ideal workaround.
Oh my god!
The recall impacts all model year 2024 Cybertruck vehicles manufactured from November 13th, 2023 to April 4th, 2024. With the fault estimated to be present in 100% of the total 3,878 vehicles. This is essentially every Cybertruck delivered to customers since its launch event last year.
Wow.
A recall seemed to be inevitable after Cybertruck customers were reportedly notified earlier this week that their deliveries had been delayed, with at least one owner being informed by the vehicle dealership that the truck was being recalled over its accelerator pedal. The issue was also highlighted by another Cybertruck owner on TikTok, and people on TikTok have been talking about this, and they've also been talking about another issue. It goes more to talk about the National Health and Safety Group or whatever. I'm not worried about that shit because bureaucracy is boring as fuck. So we're just going to skip down to where they talk about Tesla fans and shit and then leave it at that. Tesla is notifying its stores and service centers on the issue on or around April 19th and has committed to replacing or reworking the pedals on recalled vehicles at no charge to Cybertruck owners.
Well, you damn right, no charge. What?
Why would I pay for that? At what point am I going to pay you? Right.
You better pay me to not talk shit.
You said what?
I already bought a spaceship.
Sorry, I bought a spaceship. I'm like, what?
That would have pissed me off with that.
I'm like, you notifying me is for free, and then like cross it out, and you're like, you better, like,
you know.
Any trucks produced from April 17th onward will also be equipped with a new accelerator pedal component and part number. This is actually the second of Tesla's many recalls to affect the Cybertruck, Yeah, this is the second of the many recalls, but it is the most significant. And then it goes on to talk about the history of recalls. Tesla fans have taken issue with the word, quote, recall in the past when the company has proven adept at fixing its issues through over-the-air software updates. But they likely will have to admit that in this case, the terminology applies.
Because, like, be the fuck for real.
It applies even if it's on the computer.
That's what I'm saying. A recall is a recall.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Like, you can't put that bitch on the road until it gets fixed. Yeah. So, it's a recall.
And I don't like that someone has access to my car through a computer.
I don't honestly.
What's that one show? Where they had the cars that moved on their own and then the government killed one guy.
Oh, yeah, Upload. That's my shit.
Oh, yeah. That's why I never...
See? They told us in the shows. They already know.
It's always predicting.
I watched the video of the pedal. So basically, it's like a metal cover over the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover can shift and get lodged into the car. So it forces the pedal to stay all the way.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so terrifying.
Yeah, watch the video and the article, y'all, because it's terrifying.
Oh my God. What is the Cybertruck even fucking made out of? Is it made out of like stainless steel? Like,
ain't no telling. It looks like fridges.
It looks like those futuristic, refrigerators in the gentrified homes.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's enough for me. Fuck Tesla. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that shit.
I can't. And I got to charge every 30 seconds.
I got a recall every 6 months.
Mm-mm.
What is going on? Oh, there's another one. They was like, oh, you can't get it wet. Like, if you get it wet or, like,
in I can get my car wet.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I think is cool about the Tesla is that they have Mario Kart on the little screen.
Yeah.
Y'all seen that?
Yeah.
So when you're parked, you can play it with your actual steering wheel.
You love a little lighthearted video
so
game
cool.
moment.
Yes. It's so cute.
That's so fucking cool.
I'm like, man, yeah. I don't know if that's worth this fucking.
Right. It's not worth dying over a damn.
My car flipped upside down. I was like, well, I can play Mario Kart.
You can play Mario Kart, please. To the ambulance.
My go-kart upside down.
Please imagine that.
Rainbow Road look fire like that. So I guess Elon, but I ain't never seen a white man fuck up so much shit in such a short period of time. That
truly, and still be as rich as he is.
To actual shit.
Like.
More pop culture fun.
Yay.
Yeah, Glow.
Woo.
Yeah, Glow.
Get him, Glow.
Get him, Glow. Glow was arrested on DUI charges in Georgia as police say rapper refused to take breath test. This was published April 18th. This is a People magazine article. Rapper Glorilla has been arrested and charged with driving under the influence, possessing an open container in a motor vehicle, and failure to obey a traffic control device. Did y'all see her mugshot? It was actually really cute.
No, for real. She had such a cute mugshot.
Yeah, she's so cute.
It was just going to be a mixtape cover.
You know?
Yes.
Oh my God, yes. According to an incident report obtained by People, the Tomorrow 2 performer received the charges in the morning on April 16th in Sewanee, Georgia. That's where I went to high school.
True.
Where she was arrested by police after allegedly making a U-turn at a solid red light. No, girl.
Isn't that a
solid red light? Is
solid.
That's a white way of saying a whole ass.
Right, a whole
light.
Red light.
I'm about to say that shit. Sorry.
A solid red light.
A solid red light, nigga.
The 24-year-old star, whose real name is Gloria Hallelujah Woods, was
that is the cutest name in the
world. Hold the fucking phone. Time out.
That is so fucking cute.
I've seen that and I thought niggas was playing. I thought they were joking.
That's
all.
I was trying to just roll fast.
Her name is Gloria Hallelujah.
Gloria Hallelujah. That's her name.
Was she named by her grandmama?
Please, I
gotta
have to.
Gloria Hallelujah.
Wait, I'm obsessed in the fact her name is Gloria Hallelujah and she making songs like she's making. That is every fucking
also
thing.
Stomping bitches out with shell toes.
You know?
Right. An affirmation. Praise be. Was then pulled over by an officer who immediately noticed her eyes to be watery and bloodshot as they smelled marijuana in her vehicle and alcohol on her breath, per the report. Glorilla admitted to having consumed alcohol earlier in the evening, the report states. Then she refused to disclose how many beverages to the officer and insisted she was good to drive. The officer noted that her sentences were not always making sense. This feels racist, though.
Yeah.
And that she had a hard time finishing her thoughts. Because it reminds me of the Trayvon Martin trial where, like, they didn't believe that one person's, like, testimony because they couldn't understand the way she spoke like, her, you know, her use of AAVE.
Yeah.
Because, like, what do you mean not making sense? Like,
bitch
is unintelligible, or is it her accent?
Right. She has a heavy Memphis accent.
Yeah.
And she's black.
The Yeah Glow musician struggled through several evaluations and refused to take a portable breath test, according to the report. She was then arrested for driving under the influence. During a search of the vehicle, an officer found marijuana in an open alcoholic beverage bottle, states the report.
Damn.
Glorilla was then taken to the Gwinnett County Detention Center, issued the charges, and booked from 6:12 a.m. to 9:41 a.m. when she posted a $1,956 bond and was released. A rep for Glorilla did not immediately respond to people's requests for comment. Then they just talk a little bit more about who she is and where she's from. This picture is so cute. She's so cute. I love
the rap.
Yeah,
Glorilla's, yeah.
I love all of
I'm living so hard
obsessed.
For the rap. Yes. Who's your favorite?
Lola Brooke. She's so cute.
Yeah, Lola Brooke's cute as fuck.
She's tiny. Her performances are so cute. Because she be like this man.
I'm like, I really love her. I really love Dochi.
I loved it. I
love Lil Millie.
My favorite right now is Tia Corinne and Dochi. So
I only know like the Tia Corinne that comes up on the playlist. Like I haven't done like a deep dive or anything.
Yeah, she fire.
So obviously I love Glorilla. Obviously I don't love drinking and driving. I think we might have talked about it with like Scott Disick or somebody else. Y'all are rich people and y'all have teams.
Yeah.
Don't get in a car. Just don't. Just don't. Because I mean I'm glad she's out of jail and everything, but luckily nothing happened. If she was really as intoxicated as they make it.
Because early in the evening is wild, but it was 6:12 a.m.
In the morning?
So, I mean, okay, I'm not going to hold y'all. I feel like probably most of everything had passed through her system. I feel like she was probably more concerned about the weed than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
She shouldn't have busted that illegal UE.
She probably wasn't as intoxicated as her, or, you know, all the things. She probably was okay.
Yeah.
But regardless, let's, you know, use our resources.
Also, if you've been up all night partying, you are also sleep deprived. And I feel like we don't take that seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been guilty of that too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've been up all night, go to sleep or call an Uber. Yeah. You don't need to be driving, even if you're sober and sleep deprived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very true.
I've never been drunk before. I have been a little buzzed. I think I've been a little tipsy. I don't know if I've been tipsy because I don't. Yeah, no, I'll do that. I'll pitch the chips for you. I've been high as shit, though. But no, I've never been drunk before. So I don't know about this, but like folks be saying that like when you drunk, it just makes you more like confident. And you be like, hell yeah, I can do it. Like, I'm good to drive. I'm good to drive.
I mean, it depends on the person, but yeah.
I feel like the older you get, unless you have like a dependency problem, a substance issue, you know when you're not good to drive.
Oh,
like, I feel like when you're 18, you get drunk and you're like, oh no, I got this shit. Mm-hmm. But by the time she's 24, she says she don't know better. But like, as you get older, you can definitely recognize when you're not good.
I feel like we've all, well, besides LOL, we all have had a moment where we get home, we're like, I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Or
you wake up the next morning and you're like,
how the fuck did I get here? And then you're like, okay, I don't need to ever do that again.
Yeah.
Because, like, thank God we made it home safely, but there's, I mean, we've read about situations where it ends terribly, so.
Yeah. The conversations around alcohol and substance use and operating cars needs to look different. I've had a DUI before. Definitely not proud of it. And binge drinking in general for young people, I mean, honestly, after COVID, all of us, it's just a normalized ass thing, but we don't have as many conversations, I don't feel like, around, like, alternatives, or like even like being the friend that takes a nigga's keys when they come to your house, like you know, sometimes you gotta be the bad guy. That kind of shit saves lives.
Stay here.
Because like, who was she partying with? Why they let her leave?
I'm grateful nothing bad happened.
Yeah,
I love Glorilla. She gonna be all right.
Yeah, definitely. I'm ready.
She's
for
so
the new music that comes from this too.
Are y'all going to the concert?
Which concert?
Megan's concert.
There's too many concerts. I ain't got no money. I'm waiting on Beyonce to tell me what to do with my funds. That's priority.
I do want to go to that Sierra Missy bus. I think that's going to be a good time.
I might try to wait like day of and see if I can get tickets for that. Mm-hmm. I already missed like pre-sale, so I know all the good shit's gone. Yeah. And everything else is like super high.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked.
It's too much. It's like every artist decided to go on tour this summer.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Well, somebody made a really good point that like, this is the first summer, first of all, after COVID, that feels like a real summer.
True.
Like, where everybody's going to be outside and everybody's touring. And then also, inflation is hitting everybody hard, so artists have to start going back on tour.
True. Yeah, that's true. Like, that's how they make their money
at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that makes
That's a good-ass point. I never really thought of it like that.
Yeah.
It does feel like people are... Because last summer, I know, it just felt like nothing was happening. It didn't even feel like... It was just hot as fuck.
That's I was lit. But...
No, definitely this summer. I'm trying to be out at some festivals. I'm trying to be butting it this summer. So.
We're going to the Renaissance
there.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of other shit that happened that I feel like people were able to laugh on Twitter about. OJ Simpson died. Caitlyn Jenner had a comment about it.
That shit was funny because, bitch, shut the fuck
up. All the conversations.
Also, I forgot Caitlyn Jenner killed people with her fucking car. I completely forgot about that.
I didn't know that until niggas posted it on Twitter. I was like, hold the fucking phone, bitch.
Screaming.
Yeah.
That shit was wild.
So the OJ stuff was comedy. I hope everyone enjoyed that.
All the Twitter beefs.
Oh my God.
JT and Glow, JT and Carisha, JT and Yo Mama and Daddy.
Yo Mama.
And brother's body. Like,
the rap girlies, not the actual girlies, the rap niggas. Yeah. Are beefing as well.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
well, Drake is a rap girly.
Drake claims he's absolutely a rap girly.
J. Cole bowing out because he didn't he knew shit was about to get
Rick
high.
Ross in there.
Rick Ross said sprinkle sprinkle.
BBL Drizzy.
That shit was so fucking funny.
He called Drake a white man.
And he said, Mom, I told him you're racist or something. I was like, Drake, come on. He was like, yeah, that's why you got that Power Ranger suit on at your, that's why you got the crazy shit on at your concerts because them abs don't wore off. You got them etched. I was like, damn.
It's been funny it's been funny on all fronts.
I think the funniest one for me was when OJ died and then somebody said, oh, the juice expired.
That shit was funny. Very clever. Very clever.
Very clever. And it's funny because it's like, I don't know what y'all expected from niggas. These are the same people who, when Queen Elizabeth died, was like, oh, you don't even have to cremate her. You could just shake her up in a bag and then she'll just touch her. Like, niggas are ruthless and y'all need to know this. So don't get on Black Twitter talking about, oh, they mean, no, this isn't the time.
Just enjoy the
fuck OJ Simpson.
Yes, come on.
I feel like we've all moved past.
Yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, the vitriol for OJ isn't just about the murder, which was awful.
Yeah.
It was everything that happened after that.
Absolutely.
He was a complete fucking dick about
like,
it.
No, like, just move to a foreign country and go start over. You ain't a star everywhere. I don't know,
like,
something.
A woman is dead and you're making jokes. Not us. Any woman. Your woman,
yes,
is dead.
And what? He also killed the man. Let's not forget.
That's what,
know?
I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you think it's funny, so if I did do it, bitch, this is not some shit to joke
and
about.
And wrote a fucking book. And then, like, with that reporter, when she answered the door, he was like, doing that little stabby thing. I was like, yo.
They should have got rid of Double Jeopardy just for his ass.
Absolutely.
Just for his
like,
ass.
We about to get rid of it right now.
And you know they had him, he had everyone that came to his deathbed out of an NDA, and so they're saying he probably confessed everything when he died.
No,
how long do NDAs stand?
Do NDAs stand for crimes? Like,
I feel like there's got to be some type of.
No, I was snitched. Who gonna sue?
The thing is, Double Jeopardy already is already a thing.
Yeah,
so it's not like he would be even prosecuted. How do you say that word?
Posthumously?
Posthumously.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I had to break out the SAT.
It is Saturday morning.
So,
I mean, I don't know what the fear is. Maybe he just wants to keep his image the same, or maybe he did really want to get off his chest. But
I'm saying, what image, friend? You talking about some, you not black, you OJ.
Right.
You a whole nigga out here. You like 6'4". You used to be a football player. You out here fucking on these white hoes. You are the epitome of a black man. What are you talking about?
Oh my God. Them sending their condolences to Chloe.
Nigga. That shit was so terrible.
They said she lost 3 days.
Yeah.
No! I remember that. No, I gotta get out of here.
Because
you niggas are ruthless. You niggas are ruthless.
Like, bowel transphobia aside, y'all kind of ate that one.
No, that little one.
That
was funny as hell.
Oh, my
God.
I
screamed.
I said, poor Chloe.
Yikes.
Oh, my God.
That girl can't catch it. Great.
Y'all. It never will.
If I was Chloe, I would just have to go ahead and delete all my social media. I'm sick of it.
Why?
Because she don't never get a chance to
breathe. No, y'all don't take my existence seriously.
They sure don't. She is the butt of every joke.
Everyone.
Oh, my God. That poor woman.
My goodness. Yeah, no. That shit was so funny.
Sending her condolences directly to her at was nuts.
No, that was...
Niggas are, like you said, ruthless.
And I don't know what y'all expect from them. That's why I say, if I ever get famous...
Because here's the thing. If I was Chloe and I found out OJ died... Y'all not hearing from me.
No,
for the next 5
I'm disappearing.
I'm gone.
I'm deleting all my socials. I'm not referring to me at all. Whatever.
Pop up in Romania with a whole new life.
And right before we started recording, I saw that Chris Brown released a diss against Quavo.
Yeah, they're beefing too.
They've been beefing for a while.
But it's over Karrueche. I think that's where it's at.
Nigga, pack it up.
You know, because Karrueche ain't thinking about neither one of y'all.
Not a single one.
Neither one of you.
That's a whole other conversation. You been abused her years ago. She put a restraining order out of her ass.
Keep her name out your mouth.
That's exactly
real.
Ooh, I hate names, bro.
Okay, y'all. Well, that was a heavy one, but I'm glad we got to end on a light note.
Mm-hmm.
What next? I think we're done.
We are done.
Yeah.
Done, yes. Man. Let us know what you think about the episode. Tell us how much you missed us. Yell at us. Fuss us out. We'll take it all.
Yes.
And you can find us online at
Ayana Killa Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and Ayana Killa Pod on Twitter.
And you can listen to us on Apple Music. You can listen to us on Spotify. Anywhere where you can find podcasts except Facebook, because they are aiding and abetting the end of the world. Fuck them.
Bye.
Bye.